ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। 28 चैप्टर 22 टेक्स्ट नंबर 24। श्री भगवान उवाच, ब्रह्मन् यम अनुग्रहणामि, ब्रह्मन् यम अनुग्रहणामि, तद्विशो विदनोमि अहम्। यन्मदा पुरुषस्तब्दो लोकं मा चावमन्यते। ट्रांसलेशन। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड सेड, माई डियर लॉर्ड ब्रह्म, बिकॉज ऑफ मेटीरियल ऑपुलेंस अ फुलिश पर्सन बिकम्स डल विटेड एंड मैड। Thus he has no respect for anyone within the three worlds and defies even my authority. To such a person, I show special favor by first taking away all his possessions. Purport. A civilization that has become godless because of material advancement in opulence is extremely dangerous. Because of great opulence, a materialist becomes so proud that he has no regard for anyone and even refuses to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The result of such a mentality is certainly very dangerous. To show special favor, the Lord sometimes makes an example of someone like Bali Maharaj, who was now bereft of all his possessions. Hare Krishna, I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that I can speak something on this exalted verse, although I have no realization on this. What I'll be speaking is all based on the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara and some other material which I've collected from different devotees. Srila Prabhupada is describing here the modern civilization, which is very much atheistic because of material opulence. So one senior ISKCON leader, he described one incident that happened in his life. When he was a small child, the father of one of his friends, he left his body. And the father was a very big cop, and in like Indian term, a khadus cop. So, always very angry and very grim-faced. But when he had passed away, so there were particular technique by which they nicely decorate the dead body, put him nice suit, shave him up, put some makeup, and also by some technique they stretch the cheeks that the person is also smiling. So the devotee said it was as though it was seeing a deity, murti, like that he was resting so peacefully, happy in the coffin. So many people would come and say that, I've never seen your father so happy like he is now. So, but he was saying, but where is the father? Where is he? He's not here. He's gone somewhere. So, like many devotees who are gone to the West, they tell how it is, everything is so polished. You cannot easily see suffering. Like in India, we travel and after every few kilometers, we see an accident, a truck hitting a tree, or a Maruti van crushed, like squeezed down nicely. But in the West, everything is very clean. Moment there is an accident, immediately a van comes, picks the dilapidated vehicle, removes the dead bodies or injured, and clean it up. So we don't see any suffering over there. Like, even the restrooms are so nicely well-furnished. Sometimes people have libraries, music systems, and even like people nowadays in India, they advertise that even your restroom is like a drawing room. If somebody is having disease, they are nice hospitals, they are taken care of. Somebody is old, they are old homes. Somebody who is dead, immediately is removed. So all this birth, old age, disease, death, the suffering is not easily visible. So because of that, people, they always remain in a high, thinking that this civilization is providing everything and there is no need of God. But ultimately, this is all illusion. And then, by Krishna's mercy, when it happens, by the enactment of suffering in our life, we actually start questioning, what is the real goal? Same kind of civilization of peaceful, happy moments was created in the life of Lord Buddha when he was just a young prince. When he was born as Prince Siddharth, the astrologers predicted that he will not remain a king but actually become a saint. So his parents, they decided that we will not create a world of suffering around him. Everything will be very nice, polished, peaceful, happy. So they created a wall around his palace and everything was perfect. There was no old age, no disease, no death, no suffering in that area. Always beautiful music and nice things were going on. And Prince Siddharth never went outside. But once he decided, I have to check out. And by forcing his chariot driver, he went outside. And what did he see? The first thing he saw was an old man, his back bent, painful arthritic pain, and he was trembling and crying for help. And Siddharth was shocked. "What is this?" he asked. "I have never seen anything like this." And the chariot driver said, "This is an old man." So he asked, "Will I become an old man?" He said, "Yes." Then he went ahead and he saw a diseased person. His skin was heavily infected. He was weeping, crying. And Siddharth asked, "What is this?" He said, "He is diseased." He said, "Will I become diseased?" And the chariot driver said, "Yes." And then he went ahead and there was a funeral procession going on. A dead man being carried by the relatives who were weeping, crying, wailing. And he had never seen such a suffering, never seen so much tears. And he asked, "What is this?" He said, "This is death. A person has died and is going to be cremated." So he asked, "Will I die also?" And they said, "Yes." So Siddharth came back and he was totally shocked. His world of illusion, the world of enjoyment, perpetual enjoyment, had burst, had broken. And he was wondering, what is the goal of life? Is it just simply to enjoy living in these palatial comforts? And slowly he began to withdraw. So the parents, after seeing this, they began to increase this enjoyment around him. But he decided, "No, this is only diverting me from my focus, diverting me from the goal of life." And one night he decided to leave. Living beside his beautiful young wife, his palatial comforts, his rich kingdom, he asked his chariot driver to take him outside the forest, into a forest, where he left his princely robes and took up the dress of a mendicant. He met some sages who told him the path of tapasya to punish the body and do austerities. But he was not satisfied. The burning desires in his heart, they were still so much tormenting him. Then finally he decided, he came to Bodh Gaya and sat under the Bodhi tree and decided, "I will not leave till I get enlightenment." At that time Mayadevi came and tested him, promising him riches, pleasures of this world, and ultimately she even offered liberation from birth, old age, disease and death. But he said, "No, I may get liberation, but I'll stay back to help the people who are suffering in this world." This is his compassion. And because of this, he finally got enlightenment and taught his principles to the world. So Buddha described, and then he became Buddha, who is also the incarnation of Supreme Lord. He described that all sufferings are due to material desires. And desires lead to drive us for sense enjoyment. If we get sense enjoyment, we become attached to it. And if we don't get sense enjoyment, we become frustrated. But the desires remain. And because of these desires, we again come back into this cycle of birth and death to fulfill those desires. So he taught the process of negating desires by focusing on one supreme goal. But Prabhupada describes that higher than that is to dovetail our desires in service of Krishna and purify those desires. And once our desires are purified and the mind is engaged at the lotus feet of Krishna, automatically we develop detachment and devotion. So, and here Lord is clearly saying that he does all this because he finds that the devotee who's got material possessions, he becomes diverted. He becomes diverted and is not able to focus on his supreme goal. Also, this question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukdev Goswami, that we see that Lord Krishna is so opulent, but his devotees are so poor. Whereas Lord Shiva, who is living with, even without a house, but his devotees are generally very rich. So Shukdev Goswami takes him back to a conversation in 10th canto, where Pandavas ask a similar question to Lord Krishna. They say that we have been your devotees, we are so powerful, yet we have been suffering. Why is it so? Then Krishna says this verse, that yasyaham anugrahanami harishyatad dhanam shane, that if I have mercy on somebody, slowly I take away all his wealth. So when a karmi hears this, he becomes very scared. Like some time back we got a letter in BTG quoting this verse only. And person said, why should I worship Krishna? If I worship Krishna, Krishna takes away everything. So I'm very scared. So basically why Krishna does it is because these material possessions very easily can divert a sadhak's mind. And instead of focusing on the supreme goal of going back to Krishna, persons become attached to this material world and enjoyment. And again he has to come back. So at that time, Krishna destroys one's material opulence, but he also enriches us in spiritual understanding when he takes away our possessions. And like Avanti Brahman, the story is given in 11th canto, he was a very rich Brahman and had a lot of opulence, but he was also, like you say, conjuice, very miserly. So by some fate, all his wealth was taken away due to some losses or plundering by thieves or taken away by the state. And eventually all his relatives, they left him. So then he was left with no other shelter except to approach the Supreme Lord. So at that time, because one is frustrated, one has no other option but to approach the Supreme Lord. Therefore his bhakti becomes very streamlined. Also yesterday His Grace Gaurgopal Prabhu told us that one of the names of Krishna is Madhusudan. And one of the meaning of Madhusudan is, like, Madhu is compared to false ego. It's very sweet. So Krishna is Madhusudan. He destroys false ego. And that's why he's called Madhusudan. So in Chaitanya Charitamrit, it is described that what is the attitude of Krishna when he takes away the possessions? Krishna kahe yami bhaje mage vishe sukh, amrit chade vishe mage ehi bada murkh. Krishna says that he worships me, my devotee worships me. But then what he asks? He asks for material desires. Amrit chade vish maage. He leaves amrit and asks for vish, poison. He's such a foolish person. So what does Krishna do? Ami vigya ei murkhe, vishay kena diva, swacharna amrit diye, vishay bhulaiba. Krishna says, I am intelligent. And this stupid fool, he's asking for vishay. Vishay is like material possessions. Why should I give it to him? I'll give my own charnamrit. And then he'll forget this vishesuk. He says this is ignorance. And that's why Krishna removes it. Because it is also said that till we are attached to enjoying in this world, Gita describes, bhogaishwarya prasakta nam tya parit chetasam vyavasatmika buddhi samadhona vidyate. That somebody is attached to bhog and aishwarya, to enjoy in this material world, tya parit chetasam, his intelligence is kidnapped and he cannot focus. Vyavasatmika buddhi, that one-pointed intelligence to approach God, it doesn't remain. And he cannot focus in his mind. Another important thing is that by this mercy of Krishna, that he removes everything from a devotee's possession, the process of devotional service is also protected by intrusion by non-devotees. Because somebody who is not pure, when he hears this, he really thinks whether I should become a devotee or not. And he would rather hold back. And a karmic person, he will easily go to some other demigod, because demigods very easily bestow mercy. Like many people, they come to Krishna thinking that Krishna is an order supplier. Like Prabhupada describes that when the Second World War was going on, so ladies in Germany, they would go to churches begging God to save their husbands and brothers. And also similar thing was happening in England. But ultimately somebody had to die. So when the brothers and husbands, fathers did not return, people became atheistic wholesale. But Prabhupada said they never asked God before starting the war. So after they started the war, and now they are asking God to help them with their things. So another analogy is given that Krishna is like a loving father. So just like a child wants to play whole day, but father has to force the child, no, it's time to study. So leave your play and come back and study. So child may resent it, but it is for the benefit of child only. So that is Krishna's mercy. So we've seen many examples of this in our scriptures. Like, we see the example of Avanti Brahman, which we discussed. Then yesterday, Akinchan Krishna Prabhu described the example of Keshav Kashmiri, how he was such a brilliant poet, learned man. But when he came before Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya immediately bewildered him by pointing out faults and broke his pride. Then Vrachanda Prabhu spoke how Lord Krishna humiliated Indra. He was so proud, but Krishna demolished his pride by lifting Govardhan and saving the Brajvasis. Also, we have example of Nal Kuber and Manigrive. They were son of Kuber, great demigods, who is the treasure keeper of demigods. And they were enjoying in a lake with heavenly damsels. And when Narad Muni came, they even failed to cover themselves. So Narad Muni cursed them to become trees. So he took all their opulence, but in result he gave them mercy of Krishna. So at this stage, when we understand how it's basically Krishna's compassion that is doing this to us, we should also have a very positive attitude to accept such sufferings which are bound to come in our lives one way or the other. So Prabhupada describes that the devotee is never disturbed by such a loss, but he continues in his service. Like Bali Maharaj also here, when Krishna has taken away everything, he says that, O Lord, it is to bring me to the right platform of eternal life that you have put me into these circumstances. So also, we see in the same canto, the pastime of Gajendra, how he is also such a strong elephant going around with his family for a family picnic, and suddenly like a terrorist, the crocodile comes and captures him. So, even we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada in the early days when the Krishna consciousness movement started, all the hippies who came to Prabhupada, they were also actually very frustrated. They were also rich people, sons and daughters of rich families, but they were frustrated with material world. They were also living like poor people, but they were looking for something higher. They had seen that material world cannot give the ultimate pleasure. And when Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness to them, they immediately picked it up. So, we should also remember that one who has got Krishna has got everything. One doesn't have to look for anything else. If you gain Krishna, there is no more necessity of any other profit. All profit is there. And Prabhupada even goes to describe this verse, Aslisyava Padratam Pinastumam Marmhatam Karotuva. So, Krishna. Here, this is a verse which is spoken by Lord Chaitanya, but it is actually in the mood of Srimati Radharani, which is saying that Krishna, although you may love me, you may embrace me, or you may throw me away, trample me, or may not come before me, but still, in one lecture, Prabhupada says, Radharani says, I love you. So, here we can see Prabhupada is mentioning the real attitude of love. Because love doesn't wants always a positive reciprocation from the beloved. Even when the beloved is not reciprocating, still the lover doesn't give out. And it is also described that in Gita, the positive attitude for a sadhaka is given in 2.41. Vyavasatmika buddhi rekehe kuru nandana bahushaka hiyantasha buddho vyavasayinam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So whenever I speak this verse, I remember one story. I had a friend, so I think I'll share it here. So when I was in college, I had a very nice friend, sort of acquaintance. Very nice Bombay boy, tall, handsome, fair-colored, very nice singer, and okay student. So there was one girl who was after him. So she was like mediocre looking but very rich and fair. So, but this guy wouldn't like show so much of interest. So one day I just asked him, I said, you're like from middle class family but this girl is very rich and she's not so bad looking, so why don't you go for her? So he told me very funny answer, so which after I read Gita I could actually understand. He said, maybe dal dal pe phudakna chahta, so that I want to jump from one branch to another. So when I read this verse that Bahushaka hi antash. So actually that person who's not resolute, he also goes into different branches, want to enjoy the different pleasures in this world. But actually a devotee, he is very focused. Like Prabhupada mentions here, that one-pointed intelligence is needed. So once we have the focus that our only goal is Krishna in this life, so we won't be diverted into this Bahushaka. We won't want to jump from one branch to another to taste different features. So even in this verse, Prabhupada describes in text 45, Bhagavad Gita 2.45. Prabhupada says, as long as material body exists, there are actions and reactions in the material modes. One has to learn tolerance in the face of dualities such as happiness and distress or cold and warmth. And by tolerating such dualities, become free from anxieties regarding gain and loss. This transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. So basically we may feel that we came into Krishna consciousness movement, but after coming here, Krishna is taking all our desire, all our things. Like I remember the person who preached to me, I was like very new, few months old only. Suddenly one day he came and he said, I'll take away everything you have. So I was wondering what he'll take. So I realized much later. So then I also decided to return the favors. So even though Krishna may take everything which may possess, but still it's not that Krishna just deserts us. It's not that Krishna just throws us like an orphan child. Queen Kunti describes in her prayers, she says, Namo Akinchan Vittaya. So although Krishna may prefer somebody who's Akinchan, somebody who doesn't have material possessions, but still Krishna becomes Akinchan Vittaya, the possession of those who are impoverished. So Krishna doesn't leave his followers. He's always there. And he also says in Gita, Yoga Kshem Vahyamiham, that whatever you lack, I'll provide. So it's not that we may lose everything, material things, but still we'll have Krishna who will take care. So like we see in the stories of the six Goswamis, like they were all very rich, aristocratic, and they left everything to serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya and came into the forest of Vrindavan. And they didn't have any possession. They would wear discarded clothes, sleep under different trees every night. So one day, Srila Rupa Goswami, he thought, he had a desire that he should feed nice prasad to Srila Sanatan Goswami, his elder brother. But right in the jungle, at that time, Vrindavan was not like full of hotels like we have now. And you come out of Krishna Balam and there are like all varieties from Punjabi to South Indian, everything is there. So it was all forest. And he was thinking, how can I feed Srila Sanatan Goswami? And suddenly a young girl appeared with nice ingredients for sweet rice, vegetables, everything. And she prepared very nice sweet rice. And then Sanatan Goswami came and Srila Rupa Goswami offered him this sweet rice. And Sanatan Goswami was, where did you get it? Okay, I'll tell you. Then he started drinking it and he was relishing it so much. It was nectarian. And he was asking, where did you get it? But at the same time, not leaving it also. And then Srila Rupa Goswami described how a young girl came. She was so beautiful. So have you seen her before? No, I have not seen her before. Although I be in this village since long time. And who was she? And ultimately they came to the conclusion that she was none other than Srimati Radharani, who had personally come to fulfill that desire of her devotee. Also Srila Sanatan Goswami, when he wanted to build a temple for Madan Mohan, he had no money. But somehow Krishna arranged that a wealthy merchant, Kapoor, he could come, his ship got stuck, and then he prayed to Madan Mohan and the ship got removed from the obstruction. And by all the profits he earned by selling his goods, he built a nice temple for Madan Mohan. So although a devotee may be in an impoverished condition, but Krishna will take care of him. So it doesn't mean that somebody who is not impoverished, somebody who is very rich, is not getting mercy of Krishna. In one lecture, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj describes that this akinchan vritti, that tendency to feel that one doesn't possess anything, that is in mind, that is not in possession. Even a beggar is proud of his penny. Somebody may be poor but still very proud, and somebody may be rich but still feel that everything belongs to Krishna. What is important is the attitude. We should understand that everything belongs to Krishna, nothing is mine, and with this attitude we should serve. And then Krishna will take care. So an analogy is given that just like an unripe mango, like all of us, we are like unripe, but we have to become ripened mango just to be presented to Lord. So Krishna puts us into various tests. That is the thing. And also an iron rod, when put into fire, it becomes like fire. Similarly, by the fire of devotional service, all the impurities in our heart are burnt, and then we become fire-like, pure, to be presented to Krishna. Even in the life of Srila Prabhupada, we see that how he wanted, astrologers had predicted that he'll be a very rich man, one of the richest in India. And he was thinking that I'll utilize my money to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Whereas in many dreams, he would be getting Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would request him to join as a sannyasi. And finally, what happened, that all his business got disrupted. There was nobody to help him. His family members deserted him. And at that time, this verse, Yasya Manugrahanami Harishyata Dhanam Shane, came into his mind. So while he was living in Vrindavan, in the temple of Sri Radha Damodar, he wrote this bhajan, which is called Vrindavan Bhajan. And he describes, "My dear Lord Krishna, as I sit here alone in your holy abode of Vrindavan Dham, absorbed in the following thoughts and meditations, kindly appear before me. I have a wife, son, daughter, grandchildren, and everything. But since now I am without any wealth, everything is considered a failure. All these so-called opulence are now simply sources of frustration. My dear Lord Shri Krishna, you have so kindly revealed to me the naked form of your material energy, and today by your causeless mercy I have lost all taste for material enjoyment. As you, my Lord, have stated, Yasyaha Manugranami Harishya Taddhanam Shne, if I especially favor anybody, then I take away all his source of income. But have I really properly understood how you, the all-merciful Lord, have bestowed this causeless mercy upon me?" So this is the time when Srila Prabhupada was having one of the most difficult conditions. He was so poor that he, even for replying to letters, he would take the envelope, cut it open and use the empty backside, inside portion to reply. Even to get pens and all, ink for the pens, he had to beg. So this is the situation. While at one time he was the most pampered child of his father, living in opulent conditions, or one of the promising rich business of pharmacy he was doing. Again he says, "Seeing that I have no money, everyone has left me, including all my family members, relatives, close friends and brothers. However, although I am supposed to be unhappy, actually I am laughing. Indeed, sitting here alone in the holy abode of Vrindavan, I am laughing in great happiness. Who in this material life of so-called family, friendship and love can be said to really love another? Where are my affectionate mother and father now? Where are the other near and dear ones? Where have all the elder relatives and close family members gone? Tell me, who is there who can give me information about their whereabouts today? What is left of their dear family at present? Now it exists in name only." So this is Srila Prabhupada's supreme manifestation of the greatest positive attitude in terms of the greatest difficulty. So we see that we may be very proud of our relatives, proud of our possessions, money, everything, connections. But a time comes when Maya attacks, when the jaws of crocodile, just like they attacked Gajendra, the jaws of Maya, they snap at our feet, snap at our existence. At that time, nobody can actually help. All of us will face such a situation where our money will fail, relations will fail, connections will fail, power will fail. At that time, we'll have only one shelter, Krishna. So sooner we realize this, and just as Gajendra, he picked up a lotus flower and offered at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Lord Hari, we should also offer the lotus of our mind, lotus of our existence at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. That is our only hope. That is the only place, only time, only way we can actually perfect our existence. Without that, everything is useless. It is described that this world, an analogy is given of cow ghee and ash. Cow ghee, the purest of cow ghee, is supposed to be used to enhance the blazing fire in the yajna. So Krishna is like fire. If we ignore Krishna, everything else is like ash. Our material body is basically dead without the presence of soul. Our material possessions, everything of this world is like ash. And all the gifts which God has given us, they are like ghee. They should be used in service of God, who is like fire. If we don't use, we simply use them in pouring over ash, what will happen? Pouring ghee over ash will not yield anything. It's simply a waste. That is what modern civilization is doing, which Prabhupada has mentioned. It is using the gifts of God, which are like ghee, to pour over ash, which is simply dead matter. But the gifts of God should be used in service of God. Only then the fire of devotional service will blaze. It is like using a seed and putting it in a barren land. If you take a nice seed and put it in Arabian, this desert of Sahara, what will it lead to? It will simply wither. That's what we are doing. We are using the seed which God has given us and burning it into our barren heart, which is devoid of Krishna consciousness, and would lead to nothing. As in one lecture, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj says, this body is not for the purpose of enjoying moment-to-moment pleasure. This body is a gift of God, given to the soul, which is meant to be utilized for those activities which give in relation to the soul. And for this purpose, Krishna gives us the scriptures and he gives us the sadhu to tell us exactly how we can live and attain the highest pleasure. And as Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Haha Prabhu Nanda Suta Vrishabhanu Suta Yuta Karuna Karo E Baro Narottam Das Ko E Natali Ho Ranga Pae Tumabina Ke Ache Amar. He says, Haha Prabhu Nanda Suta. Nanda Suta is Krishna. Vrishabhanu Suta Yut. Vrishabhanu Suta is Shrimati Radharani. Karuna Karo E Bar. Please have mercy on me. Narottam Das Thakur says, Natheli ho ranga pai. Please don't throw me away from your lotus feet. Tumo bina ke ache amar. What do I have except for you? With this mood that we have nothing but Krishna as our only possession, and everything else of this material world is simply flickering, fallible soldiers, and nothing else will support us. If we approach the lotus feet of Shri Radha and Krishna in this mood of akinchan, without possessing anything, surely Krishna will accept us. He'll embrace us and take us back home, back to God. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Jai Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.